Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I was trying to see this audio. I'm in the back studio, and it looks like something was winding up one of our intro songs, but it doesn't look like it caught. So I hope it doesn't come on once I'm talking. I am Carolyn Hall, and you're listening to the CL3 Creative Table. Thank you for joining us tonight. And I'm really excited about tonight's guest. I say that with everybody. I love just talking and picking the brains and getting some nuggets from each and every guest. But tonight's guest talks about a topic that I have been talking about for years, and that is about how to be a forward-thinking thought leader. Well, the person I'm referring to is our guest, Mitchell Levy. He talks about being a thought leader. How much of a thought leader are you? I threw in that forward thinking component to it. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I heard the beep. I wasn't sure. So I love the two of those coming together, forward thinking and thought leader. So tonight's going to be really interesting to me. But for those of you that are just joining in on our blog talk, our creative table was created just for that, just to have a little setting where we're all chatting openly, sharing our experiences, our techniques, our tips for those that might be emerging in the same industry that our guest or myself have been in. I definitely love to add the twist of creativity because I believe that creativity is a great way to leverage quite a bit, not just your business, but even in our personal lives of growth, relationships. Definitely when it comes to business and scaling business, creativity to me is a must. So let me introduce you to tonight's guest, and I mention his name, Mitchell, because I hate to say he or she, but Mitchell is a global credible expert, and he's going to talk to us about how he extracts the genius from people's heads. He has a great, great, extensive, credentialed background, a credible one to me, very impressive. You're a pillar in the media world, Mitchell, a pioneer. So you've also been a TEDx speaker. You're an international best-selling author of over 60 books. You are definitely branded yourself. You've definitely branded yourself, and you're recognized as the aha guy. So that'll be interesting to talk about how you came up with that name. You're also an accomplished entrepreneur with over 20 businesses in the Silicon Valley. So that includes 4 publishing companies. And within those 4 companies, you have well over 800 books. So that's just phenomenal. In addition, you provide strategic consulting to over more than 100 companies. And you've been the chairman of the board of a NASDAQ-listed company. So what I found interesting as well is I'd like to think of myself as an intensive coach. And over my years of learning and growing, I had a coach that actually identified me as an intensive coach, which I didn't even identify or realize when I started doing what I'm doing. But I believe what your team does, ghostwriting books, publishing it, distributing it, helping people become Amazon best-selling authors in just 4 months. And I'm sure, I don't know, I'm not going to assume. We'll talk about this, but is it really in those 4 months? But I get the feeling that what you're saying is quickly. okay, in a short period of time. And even when you talk about consultation, I noticed in some of the material I read, you said, give us a couple of hours and we'll have a most intense brainstorming session to where you actually pick their brain. So, Mitchell, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. And I don't mind being a global credible expert, but I sort of call myself a global credibility expert.
Well, go ahead and jump. I definitely global credibility expert. What is that? And while you explain that, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. Mitchell Levy, what we do, I'll just start with there. We work with busy, successful professionals who recognize the need for credibility, and they particularly want that credibility delivered through a book, but they have no time. So what you have to imagine is 4 months from today, you have had somebody else, and this is what we do. We ghostwrite, publish, distribute, and make you an Amazon best-selling author, and you'll spend about 5 hours of time. So who am I? I am a person who brings out the best in anyone I interact with. My goals in life are to, enjoy life. If work equals play, you could play all the time, and I love playing. So I like to interact with people and see a future that is going to be coming and figure out how to put the tools and processes in place so other people can take advantage of that same vision and make it their own.
Tell me, how difficult is that? Because you're no doubt working with a lot of different personalities, people with different backgrounds, culture, belief systems. So how much of a challenge is that to change? Because it sounds like you're changing mindsets. Is that right? Am I in a ballpark?
Well, so here's what's interesting. A coach is somebody who, when they take up a client, their goal is to help change their mindset. And sometimes that's easy and sometimes that's hard. I have a different approach. When people are coming to me, they're saying, hey Mitchell, we need credibility. And in terms of what I do, it is really simple because I ask a fundamental question. And I have to tell you, many people don't know how to answer the question quickly. So you could answer it if you want, or just leave a little bit of open air. The question is, what is your CPOP? And that's short for, what is your customer's point of pain?
CPOP?
CPOP, customer point of pain. So because everything evolves around your customer point of pain. So my customer CPOP, now let me tell you what their real CPOP is. The real CPOP is they want to drive more business, right? In general, whether you're a large business, small business, at the end of the day, your job is how do I drive more business? How do I get more revenue? If one of the vehicles they want to use to drive more revenue is to be that recognized thought leader, that expert, that credibility, so that they have more opportunities to be in front of the type of audience that's appropriate that may buy from them, then that's what we do. And that's the easy part. The easy part to me is pulling out the genius from somebody who's had and putting it to an asset called a book, make them an Amazon best-selling author so that people go, hey, that person's credible. That person could solve my problem. The important element is what's your CPOP? What problem do you solve? So, Caroline, let me ask you, what's your CPOP? What problem do you solve?
I definitely solve getting thoughts in an organized structure so that you can relay your message to others.
No, that's what you do.
Very creatively.
Got it. So that's what you do. So do people come to you because their CPOP is I am unorganized and I need my thoughts graded?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So that would mean for someone like yourself, you would put all of your marketing centered around those people, and not, by the way, not everyone is disorganized, but there are many people who are. So you would put all your marketing around attracting the type of people who are disorganized in their thought processes. Typically, if you think about the world having people who are kinesthetic, oral, and visual, visual people are typically more organized. It's sometimes it's the oral personalities who are disorganized in their thought process from the thought leadership perspective.
Right.
So if that's the case for you, then how do you market? Well, you market orally because that's how oral people process information. And the words you use deal with oral words and verbal words. And you would actually have small 30-second videos and small 30-second sound clips talking about, hey, are you disorganized? Can you pull your information together? Do you show yourself as a thought leader? Well, if you can't, if that's not easy, if that's not fun, let me help you. And that would be your soundbite.
Yeah, that's a smooth process on paper, right? It sounds and it makes sense. What would you say your biggest challenge is? Because as you were talking with that, working with authors, you specifically, let's just for clarity, we're definitely talking about listeners working with authors, correct, Mitchell? Right?
Yeah, we're talking with people who are either existing authors or they haven't been an author yet, but people who are interested in being authors. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a great way. Yeah. Those that are thinking of it. Okay. And the reason I probably compartmentalize, you know what I mean, for a quick response to that, because obviously we have different clients with all over the place. But when I generalize, I get a lot of people have their concept for their business, not just authors, but this is where it ties in, and I think it's interesting. Organizing not only thoughts or concepts, but even for those that have already been successful in business, to transition to maybe being innovative, right? Or adding in more components to their business, such as a book. So they're like, how do I do it? Where do I start? And I always start with the thoughts, you know, where are you trying to go? But let me not get ahead of myself before I lose my thoughts. Because something you said, first of all, what's your definition of credible?
that's a great question. It would be, the way I think about credibility, the way I think about expertise, so I'll start with the definition of an expert. An expert is somebody who gets paid to do something. And if you only get paid once, you're not really a very good expert. But if you get paid more than once, then you are by definition an expert in a space. Credibility is the components that allow you, so it just depends on where people see it. It's those components that allow the person on the other side to recognize that that expert can successfully deliver on whatever promise they say they can deliver, right? So credibility is a component of, like, you go into a doctor's office and you see what do? They put up their PhDs on the wall. Well, those are credibility pieces. Right. When you go into a hospital, you see people in scrubs. Now, okay, if you go into a doctor's office, do you see people in scrubs? Well, like, oh, maybe they're a doctor. Maybe they're doing something else that's important, right? How they communicate to you, how they speak. If your doctor walked into the room and they were in shorts and a T-shirt, well, you probably don't have the same focus on credibility. So it's look, feel, mannerisms, credibility, or the end product is somebody credible is a result of how they make you feel as an expert in their space. So what is the definition of credibility? It is putting the right components together, having the right elements. It's both look, feel, presence, so that the person on the other side recognizes you as an expert in your space, i.e. you're credible.
So true. And that is exactly where my train of thought was going, because as we work with clients, we provide strategic strategy. So after we help them sort what's in their thoughts and their mind and what direction they want to go and things of that nature, obviously it has to make sense. So we do a lot of brainstorming and strategizing once we find that out. And I got to tell you, if I had to do a ratio off the top of my head, 8 out of 10 of our strategies, we're recommending write a book, right? Because my reasons are compiled.
Oh,
a lot of
by
people
the way,
come with so
I hear,
much
I hear you, but I'm not even sure why it's not 10 out of 10, but I hear you.
Yeah, right? Right? I think
well,
so, too.
It's,
I think,
it's
I think
one of those. Oh, go ahead, Carolyn. Sorry.
No, go. What were you going to say?
It is a 3,000-year-old credibility piece that people trust.
Yeah.
So here's – let me give you the strategy that you can use moving forward, because it's the one that we use. If the title of the book is the CPOP that your client has, right? So the title of the book happens to be – so a lot of times we think about the titles of a book of being something really small, like Blue Ocean. What the hell does Blue Ocean mean, right?
Right,
or something
right.
Like even a book like Excellence, well, that's okay. I get that. Or Customers.com. What's Customers.com? All right, so the thing is, we think about this cute, short title. But in today's world, if the title of your book was the CPOP that you solve, and then you become an Amazon best-selling author, how much credibility do you get? Because that book is that 3,000-year-old credibility piece. So let me give you an example of that in motion. So the title of my TED Talk is called Being Seen and Being Heard as the Thought Leader. So if you Google that, you can actually get to my TED Talk, or if you Google Mitchell Levy TED Talk, you'll get there as well. I actually, in terms of marketing the TED Talk, I created a book by the same title, Being Seen and Being Heard as the Thought Leader. So you ever go into an audience or into a room, there's like 30 or 40 business people, and everyone gets 10 seconds or so to introduce themselves. And by the time the third or fourth person goes, you're like, what did they say? Author, speaker, coach, international selling author. Who are you again? What do you do? And
right.
What happens is people are using those words as nouns, not as verbs, not as adjectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the noun is your CPOP. The noun is the problem. If you think about it as your title of your book, the noun is the title of your book. So imagine I'm in a room. There are 30 or 40 experts there, and I'm holding up a copy of my book. It's a beautiful color orange. It's a hardcover book. And I'm going to say, hey, Mitchell Levy, global credibility expert, TEDx speaker and international best-selling author of the book, Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. Well, what did I do? I took those things that other people use, and those are they're really being set up for the final crescendo. People hear the word international or Amazon best-selling or TEDx, but then they go, Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader, I want that. Maybe I should talk to Mitchell. That's the power of a book. That's the piece of credibility that's given to you when you're the author of a book whose title is a CPOP that you solve for your clients.
Wow. Well, you just gave me a tip. I want to write a book. I want to take – because I think a book is – well, you have different kinds of authors, right? You have the self-help. You have the fiction. You have the – we can go on and on, right? But – the compilation when it comes to businesses, okay, how my brain is processing and automatically keeps going back to businesses because that's who I work
with.
Okay?
Me too. I only work with business books, right? Agreed.
You too? Okay. So, and recently, you know, we've been around for 15 years. So, you know, you'd come back to the table, you reinvent, you reevaluate what's working, what isn't. And when I look at my stats, we really were gravitating to women in business that were either at the startup level or that intermediate looking to leverage to the next phase or growth phase. So definitely that's why in our strategies, some kind of compiling is necessary of all that content and data and expertise that they've gathered? Because there's a lot of them that we work with, the majority are coming to the table already when they start their business with experience and a certain expertise level. So obviously continuing your education is in the strategy, compiling all that content, packaging it so it can be presented. And then also that helps us create strategies. So, because our ultimate goal is you want that brand to stand out. So what you excel in is something that I don't, because that's making the offer. I just know that that's part of the strategy. You know, I know the basics that are needing, the editor, the proofreading and the proofreader, things like that. I know the generalization of it, but you're that expert. So that's what we do, is recommend people or like to work or partner with people like yourself and say, hey, we got a client we want to send to you, because I
would love that. We have a nice referral system. But let me take it a step further, though. We do more than make an offer. We actually make a person, right? Because what happens is so many people, I fall privy to this as well. Who do you serve? Well, I serve anyone who wants to create a book and have more credibility. Well, Mitchell, who do you serve? And you have to be very focused when you interact with people. So if I'm in front of a group of realtors talking, I serve the real estate industry. If I'm in front of chiropractors, I serve chiropractors, right? So the thing is, and typically what happens is I serve people through my partners, right? So I have a product.
Right.
Think about a computer, right? At one point in time, there were just all these random components in the computer. Intel spent $1 billion saying, hey, your computer works better because Intel is inside. Well, that's kind of what I do. My process, what we've created, is so simple and so fluid and so easy and so effective that it really is, aha, that is inside. We are the Intel chip. And so we love working with partners, because that's how we can expand the reach of who we talk to and who we interact with.
Yeah, it makes sense. And that's that good old fashioned. I love how you talked about how writing a book is 300 years of credibility. That's the same thing with me. I feel strong about collaborations and partnerships and how beneficial. Now, something you said, you were mentioning when you talked about what credible is to you, how you look. You gave the example of the doctor. And I had to laugh, because we all know, well, I can't speak for everybody. I know that if you came in, look in that the illustration that you gave, I would have second thoughts. I would. I happen to be an open-minded person, so I would look at you cautiously, okay? And I would watch. I'd give you a chance. I'd give you a minute to show me what you're working with. But I'm watching you cautious, extra cautious. Whereas if I did, with the doctor that walks in that office, presentable, doctor's off, you know, coat, just the whole presentation. We don't have to get into that. But I definitely have a different reaction. Definitely. But at the end of the day, I should be making sure that I should be watching them both cautiously, because you're going to be working on my body, my child, or my grandchild. So I need to be watching you, but it's amazing how the mind thinks. I just wanted to throw that out, because what I want to tie it into is, talk to me about how important that look is, because I preach how important our style and image connects to our brand and standing out.
So if you are buying a house today, if you're buying a car today, if you're buying almost any product today, 98% of consumers or businesses will look online before they actually talk to a human. So what happens if you have a CPOP, you have a customer point of pain that you solve, and somebody meets you? So great example, Carolyn. I'm I'm saying, hey, listen, I need coaches. I need coaches who can do the types of things that you do. I need coaches who can take my jumbleized thought and turn them into something of value, help me with strategy. And so I reach out to my community, the person who booked me on the show, I reach out to Sia and say, hey, Sia, could you send it out to all the hosts and see who can do this? And so let's say Sia comes back to me and she goes, you know what, here are the three people, here are their websites. Well, what am I going to do? I'm not only going to look at their websites, I'm going to Google their names. When I Google somebody's name, so if you're listening and I'm Googling your name, what comes up? So when I, when you're thinking about appearance, that's the first thing I'm thinking about. And if your websites are horrible, you know, I'm not going to get past go, right? If your social media presence is not, it has to be adequate. It doesn't have to be phenomenal, right? But if you're in business solving a problem and the last time you posted was 2017,
right?
I look at your site and I go, you know, if I'm talking to this person who's supposed to be modern age, help me with thinking, like if the last time you posted was 2017, how could you possibly come up with a strategy that I find interesting if you haven't been active on social media?
Right. Current.
Right. So it's not just look and feel is visibly how you look. I would say if you're a workout coach or a food coach and you happen to be significantly overweight, that might have a problem. But I don't care what color of skin people have, how big they are, how tall they are, what they wear. I personally don't care. I agree with you. I care about expertise. And what's going to happen is if I have a problem, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go to my network of friends who I like, who I respect, who I trust, and I say, who do you know who's done this before? Having that level of expertise, that referral, that'll get me through the door. If their website's really crappy, I may go back to the person and go, you know, their website really sucks. What am I supposed to do? And they go, don't worry, it's a good person. You'll enjoy talking to them, Mitchell. If I don't have somebody who says that, I won't come back, right? And so here's the interesting part. Because we have this thing called the internet, and because everyone has a camera and everyone has a phone and anyone who wants to create a web page can, there's a lot of stuff out there. Your competitors are not just down the street. They are down the country in another country. And there's every possible business model out there. And so the thing to be thinking about when you go to your friend and say, hey, who can help me with this? If none of your friends know the answer, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go to their friend Google. They're going to go to their friend YouTube, and they're going to type in, who can help me with this problem?
Right.
Well, guess what happens when the title of your book is what they type in? Your book pops up. When your book pops up and it's a good-looking book and it has your name on it, it has the CPOP you solve, and people click on it and they get to a presence that looks, this is really interesting. I have to reach out to Carolyn, or I need to reach out to Mitchell. So that's the reason for the CPOP and the reason for how you look good is that first impression that people have when they interact with you will help them decide whether or not they move forward. Now, this is different. You know, when you're in a physical room, there's a different thing than when you're actually online. And when you're online, what's really amazing about today is that you actually get to feel how people interact with others. You get to see them in podcast and video cast. You get to listen and watch how they've interacted in certain situations. And, you know, the thing is, if you're not keeping up that way, if you're not actually using audio and video and different ways to communicate to different types of audiences, and we'll just say, and your competition is, you got to wonder if you're doing okay on business today, you're not going to do okay on business tomorrow, because your competition is going to attract the people who are going to be typing in the CPOP you solve. They're going to be attracting the people who type in the CPOP into Google and YouTube.
You know, you said a mouthful in that. first thing I hear is that does support. We definitely support each other's business mission, because that's one of the first things I say is to people, okay, let me check out your website. You know, let me look at your blog. Even if you haven't gotten to that point, because we work with a lot of startups, they might not have gotten that to that point, and that's exactly why they need us, to help them create that online presence. But I say you have to package yourself, and your presentation is so, so important. But let me tell you a quick story. But the other thing that you said, a couple of things. Your online presence is what your mind goes to when you say how you're looking. I 100% agree, but I'd even extend that to say, in my field, your personal image, as well as your style, your your brand, as well as your personal self, does matter. Like me, I've been doing this. When I did the evaluation, I said, I've been neglecting myself. I haven't had professional pictures done like I need them done. I am in the midst of getting my website upgraded and done. And one of the things that I said, the website developer that we hired told me, was just what you said about Carolyn. You have no audio up here. You have no videos. You have, you know, you've got to get a little bit more up to date here, because I'm old school, you know. And plus, I noticed with my being a service provider and not having a large team, a overhead, and things of that nature, I am a very hands-on person. So the clients that we take on, I am very, very involved. And it's time-consuming. And in that myth, just like when you're balancing a family, and you'll hear a wife say or a mother say later on, years down the road, I've neglected myself, I've lost myself, where am I? So I tell people from personal experience too, I try to keep it sharp, but it's nowhere near. And those are little things to me, but they have big impacts. So that's something personal that I'm working on, even sharpening and upgrading, freshening up my online presence, you know. But also the networking. I am a networking guru. I have always been a networker, and I get that from my parents, my family. We were just always there, you know, surrounding ourselves around people, the business my father was in, and things to that nature. So interacting with people, I learned very early on how important it is. Your network, your association, those you associate with, where, what, especially when you're making goals in your life to get to a certain point or achieve things, that association and who you're networking with is vital. It's a vital vein. And then the other thing was, people are watching. So you said, what we're looking at is, what we do is go to somebody's site and say, hey, do they get past my gate? You know, am I going to come to this table? Do I even want to have further discussion? Definitely. You don't know who's watching, when, how, where. So it's so important to remember and never forget. So even when you're in development stages, I had a new client just ask me, what's my suggestion? Should I clean up my Facebook page? Because she's transitioning from her personal page going into her business page. And she's wondering if she, you know, how much do I separate the two? So, of course, it's definitely necessary. However, it's also not a bad thing for people to see your transition and grow with you. So without me getting sidetracked on that subject, those three points that I heard come out of your mouth about that online presence being important, and that's what you're noticing, how important your network is. You're asking your network, have you heard of this person? What do you know about this company? That type of thing. And people, don't forget that you're always being watched by somebody. Especially once you put yourself out there as a credible business that you want clients to gravitate to you. So having said all that, oh, I want to tell you my little story. When you were talking about that, I automatically thought about my own personal experience. When I first went into business, I got a website, and I had a guest on my radio show And while we were preparing and talking, I said to her, I was like, oh, you know, my website's not where it's supposed to be. I do, because she asked me, what's your website? Do you have an, can I go look at you before I commit to you? And I said, absolutely. I said, it's not what it should be. It's not what I want it to be, but it's something. She says, don't ever apologize. I appreciate you taking out the time to tell me that. She said, but I'm looking for the content. I'm looking for much more than what color pants you have on. And that stuck with me. So I say that to say, for any of the listeners, it's things that are done in steps, I believe. And I want your thoughts on that in relation to becoming an author. But things do happen in steps, I know, when you're making that impression and building on your brand. So what kind of words of encouragement or even guidance or tips or tools or techniques would you give to somebody that does want to be first-time author or wants to be an author when it comes to kind of summarizing?
So first of all, the don't put so much credibility or tact on this. It's just an asset. It's a credibility piece. If you are interested in being an author and you want to be an Amazon best-selling author in 4 months, that and $12,500, we will do that for you. Right? It's as easy as, depending on who you work with or who you interact with, it's very easy to get done. And let's walk through my process, and then I'm going to tell you something that I think will be valuable for you and your audience as well. It's the concept of the anthology book. But first, if you want to be an author, and by the way, you don't want to be an author, you want to be able to have a credibility piece that will drive more business to you. And so right. We have, it's at AHA That, so it's the AHATHAT.com/author. We have a 3-step process if you wanted to write yourself, it's less money, or if you wanted us to write for you, and I mentioned the price, $12,500. And the first thing that happens is we have a 4-question document, and you need to fill out the question. Right? And really, the most important element, and this is something you have to think about, who is your customer, and what is their pain point? So what is the problem you're solving in the community? And once we understand that, you know, and so it's, for me, I'd like to know the title that you're suggesting. I'd like to know the sections in the book that you'd like to be thinking about. Once we understand that, I'm going to have a call with you, and I'm going to say, okay, what is it that you want to accomplish? And does this, so we did a 2.5-hour strategy call yesterday. I've got another one tomorrow. I've got another one. We did a preliminary one today. I've got another one next week. And so essentially what I'm doing with the author is figuring out who they are, who they should be, and how do they best present themselves, i.e. what is the pain point they're trying to solve. And so what happens once we come to agreement on the 4-questions document, I do between a 2- and 3-hour interview. From there, I have a series of ghostwriters who we pair the appropriate ghostwriter with the interview, and they will then write the manuscript. What happens is you get a chance to review the manuscript, make comments on it, then give us ideas for the cover. We print color on the inside, so you give us ideas for images on the inside. Once you approve it all, we then publish the book, and we encourage you to get 5 5-star reviews. There's some publishers who actually do that for them, but you know, the thing is, this asset called a book.
Do the legwork.
When you have your No. It's not about the legwork. So let's not do legwork, sort of, but let's do it in a different way. You now have an opportunity to reach out to people who are either friends of yours or prospects of yours, and say, hey, I just wrote a book. Would you mind doing a review? Whether or not they do the review, you're now giving them one more point on why they should recommend you, right? The same thing with the Amazon bestseller campaign. Once you get 5 5-star reviews, let me tell you what we're really doing is we're giving you a chance to reach out to your community on the day of the campaign. Like in the old days, we used to, you know, let people know 2 weeks ahead of time, guess what's happening, get ready. Nowadays, we're bombarded with so much information. The day of, we send out a note. We send it out to as big of a list as we could possibly come up with. We call our friends, our family. We go, hey, please, download a copy of the Kindle version of my book today. My publisher is encouraging me to have an Amazon campaign, and the book today is free. So what have we really done? We've given you a chance to reach out to your community saying, hey, here's the problem I solve. Please recommend me to others, and please pick up a copy of my book. And then because we will make you an Amazon bestseller, the next thing you do is 2 weeks down the road, you send a thank you note to everybody saying, hey, thanks so much for helping me become an Amazon bestseller. So what we're really doing with a campaign is giving you two chances to reach out to somebody, right? And that's the thing is, it's not about the book. It's not about the effort. You do need to put effort on anything you want to do in life, but it's about recognizing the importance of what you do. What you do is solve a problem. And if you want people to recommend you, because the way we do business today is people are recommending others. If you want people to recommend you, you're going to make it as easy as humanly possible for somebody to understand what you do and recommend you. So listen, anyone who's in business today, you want to be credible. You could spend a couple hundred K and get a PhD, or you can go to Mitchell Levy and aha that, and we will give you a book, an Amazon bestseller in four months. Simple, right? It's a really simple proposition. It's how I introduce myself. What I thought I would do, Carolyn, if you don't mind, is I want to talk about the concept of the anthology book, because some people you want me to stop and talk about that first? Okay, I dropped a lot. Okay, I'll stop there. We'll come back to the anthology book.
Yeah, don't forget that, because I definitely want to give you, actually what I want to do is give you a couple of minutes without any questions and let you take the floor and kind of do a quick presentation. But I want to, what you just said was very impactful. So now, is that what you consider, because in your title it says thought leader. You teach people how to be thought leaders, right?
Been doing that for over a decade. Probably
right.
15 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that started with you, because what I wanted to do before you get into the anthology is talk about you a little bit. You are a pioneer in the digital media world, right? So
some would say so. And the fact you said it, then it must be true.
I am.
It is
true. I'll tell you, when you type in the aha guy, you pop up everywhere. Some of the things that you were just saying, automatically my brain went to, this is what he's meaning when he says he teaches experts how to be thought leaders. Something are future leaders in the making? Are they even thinking of that?
Well, I think what happens is – oh, sorry. I was going to say what happens is
– you know what? Sometimes there's a delayed reaction in the hearing when I finish a sentence and then you go to talk. So I apologize if I talk over you. It's not intentional at all. So please go ahead with your thoughts.
At the end of the day, and we kind of covered it, but when you have a problem that you want to get solved, don't you want the best expert to talk to? So if you're buying a car, you want the person who you're, whether it's online or in a physical car dealership, you want that person to be your friend. You want that person to be someone who you trust. You want to make sure that if you don't go to somebody else, you get a different answer. If you're buying a house or selling a house, you want that realtor to be your personal thought leader. When you go into a store, let's say you're buying a mitt for your kid, you want the person who's interacting with you, that salesperson, to be your own personal thought leader. Who are you? What's the size? You're buying shoes in a store. You don't want somebody who says, oh, those look good. Oh, those look good. These look good. You don't want somebody who's just a yes person. You want somebody who says, hey, given the shape of your body, the weight you have, how you handle yourself, your posture, I think these shoes would be the best shoes for you, right? So we're at a stage when we're thinking about the social age, which is what we're moving into, where people who answer questions for us, they are by definition thought leaders, experts at what they do. And if they're not, you're going to go somewhere else. So do I help people become thought leaders, yes, and it's basically by demonstrating who they are and how they're expert at helping solve the CPOP of those people they interact with.
And that was important to me for you to say it exactly the way you just said it. Thank you. Now, I want you to tell us, what tips would you give? Because we just covered a lot. I can't wait to rehear this and pull out some nuggets. Thank you for that. What tips would you give people to effectively do some social media in limited time that people have?
So, by the way, do you mind if I change the word nuggets to aha messages? So you can't wait to re-listen so you can come up with some ahas from this conversation.
I like that. I might steal that.
All right. So here's the interesting part. Social media is two words, right? It's the word social and the word media. And what happens is most people give 80% or 100% of the concept of that phrase, they give it to media. So they have a microphone, they have a camera, and they say, hey, look at me, I'm cool, look at me, hey, buy my product, look at me. And guess what happens? You know what happens when people do that. They run away. So that's a great way. If you're just treating media as a place to shout, your potential audience is going to run away from you. So if you think about the word social media, just put at least 80% of the value of what you do on social media on the social part. So I'll give you a very – I talk often about how do you do social media in 5 minutes a day. Now, whether it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes or 5 hours, not that anyone should do 5 hours a day of social media, but the concept applies. It's the 80-20 rule. So here's my recommendation. When you wake up in the morning, spend 1 minute sharing a couple pieces of content that you either read in the morning or saw last night. Right. So whether or not it's we have a platform, the Aha That platform, I have 50,000 pieces of content that you could share for free. So let's say you're reading an Aha book. Share as many as you can in 1 minute. And then here's the interesting part. When people say, where do you share? You share on the platform that your prospects are. Right. If all your friends and family are on Facebook, but your prospects are on LinkedIn, I don't care about sharing on Facebook. Share on LinkedIn. Right. If you only have a minute, share at the place where your prospects are. And then go away. Now, come back a couple hours later or in the afternoon, and then spend 4 minutes, so 80% of your time, touching the people who touched your content, right? People are liking, sharing, loving what you do, and you're ignoring them. So if you're in a physical office, I'll give you the physical world analogy. If you're in that physical office and somebody brings you a cup of coffee, or you sent a print job to the printer and somebody brings you the print job, and let's say they bring you the coffee or the print job and you don't look up. Like, okay, they'll do that on day one. So let's say they come back on day two, they do the same thing. Once again, you don't acknowledge them, you don't look up, you don't do anything. Okay, maybe they'll do it a third day. After they do it the third day, do you think they do it on day four? And Carolyn, you're supposed to say, well, no, because they're not going to do it on day four because it's a weekend. But
My bad, no.
But what happens is, in the physical world, if somebody's nice to you, aren't you nice back? And the answer is yes. And so in the online world, if somebody shares our information and we ignore them, how many times are they going to share our information and we ignore them that they're going to continue doing it?
You know, right? That's so crazy.
Got it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically –
I had this conversation with somebody. This is really ironic. You just said those exact words.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. Put the social back in social media. It's helpful.
So, okay, we've talked, and I went about this a different way. I usually start out talking about yourself, but you've made it, you've sold me. You know, I want to write a book. I've always had a seed where I want to write the book, but it's something I've never tackled, and I'm mad. I'm like, the time, all the excuses, they're only excuses I make. I'm not even going to lie. Time consuming, I'm going to have to get all these thoughts, because I have a trillion of them in my head. I have a trillion times 10 of what I want to relay, a message in any book that I write. But you know what? I'm feeling like I'm pretty at that. I'm ready. I'm at that point. So I'm hoping that this is touching the listeners. And I specifically sent out some invitations through email to those that I've been associating with that have talked about this. So I really hope they're able to chime in. I see a lot. We have a nice listenership. Thank you guys for chiming in to listen. We really appreciate it. So I know that they're walking away with some aha moments. So I will definitely follow through with those people. So you basically answered a lot of our questions to that person that says, I'm too busy to write a book myself. So if I have someone ghostwrite my book, how can I be sure it's what I want to say? I think you convinced us that you can do that, you and your team. I think that you've touched us with how it ties in. I think being a thought leader ties into being an author, a best-selling author. I noticed you like to say that. A couple times you said that, like best-selling author, right? That sounds great. I want you to talk about your, what did you call it? Your anthology?
Yeah. What? So you asked a little bit about, I'm going to cover two things. First, you asked a little bit about what are the biggest problems we have. Sometimes it's having someone who's just like you, who has all this information they want to share. And at first they need to actually just listen and focus. And when we can get to a point where we actually have a CPOP, a customer point of pain, then everything becomes easy because we put on a certain set of lenses. When we have a certain lens on and somebody says, I got to talk about this, and it's on left field. And I go, well, does that fit into this particular CPOP? And they go, no. I said, well, that's book two. Here's the thing. I've made the concept of writing a book so amazingly easy that you can now think about, oh, well, maybe one day I'm going to have a dozen books. And the answer is, well, if you want to, and it's economically, it pays for itself, then the answer should be yes. And so that's why I thought I'd mention this concept of the anthology book. Anthology books are where you have a number of people contribute to a particular book on a focus topic. And we have at our site, so if you actually went to ahathat.com and you just scroll to the bottom, it says create an anthology book. The actual URL is ahathat.com/create-an-anthology-book, right? But if you don't want to type all that in, just go to ahathat.com, scroll to the bottom, and you'll see it. And what happens is we've actually made it super simple, not just to create an anthology book, but to actually make money with your book. So here's the thing that most people say. They go, Mitchell, my content is so amazing. As soon as I publish it, we're going to sell more books than the Bible. And to that, I normally say, I don't think we're the right publisher because their expectations are so out of whack, I could never meet those expectations. So even though I may say that, many people think that their content is so amazing that when they put it in book form, it's just going to sell itself. And the answer in today's world with the democratization of book publishing, books don't sell themselves. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how many books are sold. I know this is blasphemy for a publisher to say. It does not matter how many books are sold. What matters is that those people who are potentially your prospects, that they get a copy of your book in their hands. Well, what is the best way to do that? Come up with a mailing list of 1 to 200 people, get 1 to 200 copies of your book, have a physical mailing, and write a handwritten note and send those people a copy of your book. Now, as you can imagine, all this costs money. So what's interesting on an anthology book is to imagine gathering 40 of your friends who all have the same focus topic area and having them all contribute content to a book. And at the same time, they contribute a little bit of money towards the book as well. So at the very minimum, if you had 40 people contribute $297 to be part of a book, and then all they're doing is contributing. Basically, they answer a Google form. We help create the Google form. We help create all the simple stuff to make it happen. So all they're doing is actually answering that Google form, and they contribute $297. From there, our team helps pull the book together. The person who's actually started the anthology book, the person who has the primary, has their name on the cover, all the contributors are listed in their book, and we point to all their, either their websites or their LinkedIn profiles, and their content and their name is associated with every one of the aha messages that they include inside the book. But the person who drives the anthology book, if it's 297 times 40, if we subtract out all the costs, what my company does is we split profit with the author. So if you start off at $297, you end up splitting $8,600 of profit. So the author's getting, the person who's putting together, $4,300. I have to tell you, most business books, are you don't put the books out because you make money. So if you want to do a book on your own, we charge $12,500, and we're happy to do that, and we're happy to make you shine. And then your goal is to pick up the appropriate set of clients from that, so that that investment becomes extremely worthwhile. The other option is to do an anthology book. And with the anthology book, you not only are making money, but here's the important part. You've got 40 people who are part of this now new community you've created. They all are co-authors in a book that we will make an Amazon best-selling book. And so now, how many of those become clients of yours? And how many of those become partners where you do other things with? And so it's a great opportunity to both create good, compelling content, make money, and make friends that could turn into something else. And so that's the concept of the anthology book that I wanted to make sure I shared, because the journey of creating the book and the anthology and the content and the money, all of it is, it's all so amazingly, it's kind of too good to be true, because it's everything that somebody needs to be successful in business.
I love it. No, I've always loved it, and that is something that I hope listeners consider. You know, the time slipped by. I want to summarize Aha That. Where'd you get that name?
Oh, let's see. We're close to the end, so I have to go quickly.
I don't even know why.
Well, I've always been a big fan of the aha moment, of turning on that light bulb, of getting somebody excited about something that they're doing.
Yes.
When I first came out with the platform, I called it an aha amplifier, because I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. People know what an aha is, and people know what an amplifier is. And you know what? I still had to explain what it was. So when I was talking with one of my friends, he goes, you know, this millennial generation, three syllables is better than six. Why don't you try for something like aha this or aha that? And aha this was taken, but aha that was not. And so we now have a registered trademark for aha that. And it's three syllables versus the six of aha amplifier. And it's just easier to say.
It still gives you the same result. Aha. Aha. Right. And to summarize it, under the umbrella of aha is authoring, marketing, and sharing. Close out. I got a couple more minutes. I want you to tell us something personal. You've been a pioneer and been doing this for so long. Do you see yourself slowing down? You still seem like you got the fire and the passion. Is there something else that you are leading or going into in your journey? You're retiring. Tell us something about Mitchell.
You know, if I was 20 years old, you wouldn't be asking me if I was retiring unless you knew I was from Silicon Valley. Truthfully, if you love what you do, so I don't understand the concept of retirement. Retirement means it's time to go to the glue factory,
right?
Retirement is that time where you're like, oh, I've not liked what I've done for work my whole life, so let me try something else. Well, if you get to say, if you wake up in the morning, you go, I don't like my work. I know this is not easy to do, but change it, right? Figure out how you could do something in such a way that you actually enjoy what you do. Since I do enjoy what I do, there is no retirement for me. I keep changing what I do and changing the specific deliverables. What's next for me, which is really fun, is I'm in the midst of creating the Aha That Trade School, because our educational system is so screwed up. We are teaching people how to live, grow, and thrive as part of the industrial age. Well, we're in this midst of this massive transformation from the industrial age to the social age, and we're only 50% of the way there, and nobody's educating us. And so what you start seeing when you look at the news now, you should start seeing companies like IBM and SAP and Salesforce creating certification programs, training people on how to be better business people. So companies are taking it upon themselves. So we're creating an Aha That Trade School, and the primary focus of the trade school is to help businesses be successful and deliver them value in a short period of time. And so that's probably the next interesting thing for me.
Well, I feel very honored to have virtually met you, and I definitely want to continue conversation with you on a few things. But we're going to let the listeners know the best way. You've mentioned a couple of websites, and what I'll do is I'll follow through, because I definitely will post the link to the show, and I'll post some of the aha moments and comments, the topics that touch me, and I will share some of the links. But listeners, the main one to go to is www.aha.com. I want to ask you one last question. Being a person that understands the weight of words that are left that are in a book and the impression it leaves on the minds of people, if your book that you wrote, if somebody wrote a book about your journey, your life story, your expertise, and the book got destroyed and they sat you down to rewrite it again, or if somebody else rewrote it, what kind of impact, what would they write about the impact that you left us with?
I think the short answer to that question is always, for me, it's always about helping to smooth the transition that society has had, in particular different classes of society, in moving from one place to another. So if you think about a good example of what I have now is the TED Talk. If you want to know how to be successful tomorrow, because just so you know, anyone who has a job today, if you're listening and you have a job, it's gone tomorrow. What you're doing as is will be disappearing tomorrow, because we're 50% through the evolution of the transition from the industrial age to the social age. That next 50% happens in the next decade or two. So your job will disappear. So if you want to know how to succeed, the short answer, and I've given this a lot of thought, is we do business, we interact with, we want to know people that we know, like, and trust. And so to me, if somebody's going to do an epilogue on me, Mitchell was helpful at helping tens of thousands, I'd say tens of thousands at the moment, tens of thousands of people figure out how to have a better life. And better life is they're happier. Maybe they make more money, maybe they don't, but they're happier with who they are. I've helped tons of people make a ton more money, but that's not the metric of success. The metric of success is happiness. So I'll leave one last website, if you don't mind. It is Mitchell Levy 360. So if you want to reach out to me, because I throw out all these URLs, it's my name, MitchellLevy360. So MitchellLevy360.com. You know, you'll see a customer testimonial of what my customers see. You can go to the different, we have four different platforms that we use for podcasting and video casting. And if you decide that it makes sense to put time on my calendar, you can actually book time directly on my calendar on slots which are open. So I'm absolutely, if this is of interest to you and you want to follow through and you have a book in you that you need to make happen, or you hear me and you go, Mitchell, I want to be a instructor in the trade school, or I have a partnership for you with a company that I currently run, I'm interested in having that conversation. So that's MitchellLevy360.com. Oh, you're welcome.
And I'll make sure I post that. I want to post a couple of them because you have quite a few with all the years under your belt. It has been so much fun, and I'm sure we could probably go on and on. But I look forward to more conversation with you, and I truly appreciate you making time.
Have a good Thank night. You so much. My pleasure. Yeah, you too. Goodbye, everybody.
Take care. Good night, everybody. We appreciate you stopping in. We want you to tune in next Wednesday. I want everybody to keep their ear to the ground. We are planning some good happenings for the creative table. I'm kind of nervous. I'm kind of excited. I'm very excited. I'm kind of nervous about some of the ventures, but I'm going to jump out on faith and the encouragement and support of all of you people that I associate with, businesses that have reached out within the last couple of weeks even. It just makes me feel really good. So I just wanted to thank everybody. This was an important segment to me because we do suggest being an author, writing a book of some sort into a marketing strategy. So I would hope that you guys would reach out to this wonderful expert, Mr. Levy, that we were honored to have. So thanks again for making time, guys. Have a good night. Talk to you soon.